Good morning, everybody. Welcome to your Packers Daily Chat here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. I'm Aaron Nagler. The Packers are ready to play a 17th game in 2021 and then be placed in rotation for the international games. That's right, international games starting in 2022. No idea, obviously, yet when the Packers will make the trip, but their pushing back and resistance is coming to an end because as much as Mark Murphy has tried to fight it, the inevitability of growing the NFL product overseas is going to take precedence. Now, what's interesting is that I've already seen people decrying the loss of a home game. Well, if you think about it, they will have an extra home game every other year, and there will be a year or two where they have to go overseas. But for the most part, they won't be losing anything. The schedule is being enhanced and extended. I think it's only in a matter of time before we get to 18 games. That's a ways down the road. But as it is, the Packers won't be losing much. Yes, they will be given a preseason game will be taken away. That is about the extent of their loss. But they're not going to be losing any home games in relation to how we have come to know the Packers having 8 home games every year. They still will. And sometimes they'll have 9 starting in 2022. But there will be years where they'll have to go overseas. So I hope you have your passport ready, folks. I'll be there with bells on. Hello to everybody in the comments section. Good to see everybody. Brandy's here. Brandy, our new moderator. So, you know, you better behave yourselves, folks, because starting next week, she's going to be patrolling these YouTube halls, as it were. Brandy, though, has a good question saying, I saw an article that said the Packers roster construction is captured between Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. And I don't think that's, I mean, it's all dependent on your point of view, right? You can say that, you can put it that way in a negative light. You can also say that the Packers are keeping their options open when it comes to Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. I think that isn't as sexy, doesn't get as many clicks, but it's also the truth. The Packers have Aaron Rodgers under contract for 3 more years. And as I keep saying right here on this here chat, they're not going to make a move just to make it. A big component of this is Jordan Love developing. If they think Jordan Love is the next quarterback, that right here, right now in late March in 2021, there's no way they think that. So if Jordan Love continues to develop and shows promise and they think it's time that they can make the move, then they're going to have their options open and be able to do so. But this idea that the Packers are in purgatory or caught between the two, I think is a little disingenuous framing by whoever wrote the article. Jeezy Baby, thanks for the super chat. Can't believe Aaron Rodgers is going to host Jeopardy and goes on vacations. Obviously not devoted to football. Truly, clearly, obviously, should be studying his playbook. No doubt about it. Chris White, thanks for the super chat. I know this 1,000% would never happen, but could you imagine how fun Hard Knocks Green Bay would be this year? Rodgers and Love relationship. Meanwhile, Zadarius acting a fool. Yes, yes, it would be great. Unfortunately, we need the Packers to miss the playoffs twice in a row for them to be forced into the Hard Knocks rotation, and I don't ever want that to be the case. So hopefully we just keep dreaming about the idea of the Packers on Hard Knocks and never have to deal with it. I know the Packers as an organization want nothing to do with it, but someday, maybe down the road, we'll see. Keep Rodgers until he retires, says John. Well, that is a possibility. If he keeps winning MVPs, it's going to be hard to move on, but we'll see. Brad, I liked the Love pick. So you're the one. I kid. Anthony, hi, Nags, and all greetings from Macedonia. I think Love will sit for the next 2 seasons, then who knows? Absolutely a possibility. I don't think it matters if he shows signs of, quote, he's next. Green Bay has to play him after trade up in the first. No, they don't. No, no, no. This is not fantasy football. They absolutely do not have to, quote unquote, play him. If Aaron Rodgers is still playing at a high level and Jordan Love is not developing, they are not going to make the switch just because they traded up a few spots in the first round. That is 1,000,000,000% not going to happen. Now, would they prefer to make Jordan Love the next guy? I think that's pretty obvious. But again, there's a major component here, and that is Jordan Love's development. And the thing that kills everybody in the offseason when there's all this time to ruminate and guess on stuff is that we have no idea where Jordan Love is developmentally. None. Zero. The only people that do are inside 1265 Lombardi. And no matter what else gets written about, no matter what else gets talked about, that is the component, the X factor, that is completely unknowable to anybody outside that building. In hell, probably to some people inside that building. So that is where everything breaks down as far as trying to analyze how the Packers are going to make their next move or when they're going to make the switch, because it's absolutely unknowable. Forget about like the people that are actually having to do the evaluation and breaking down the practice tape and seeing what Jordan Love is doing well and isn't doing well. I mean, they have information that we don't have. The people on the outside, the media and fans, we have zero clue. None. So just remember that whenever you're talking or thinking about, you know, how the Packers are going to approach the transition, if and when it comes, there is a big chunk of information that we are not privy to. And I know it pains some writers and media members to admit that, but it's true. Samuel, thanks for the super chat. A-Rod going to get two more MVPs despite the Love pick. I wouldn't hate it. Hey, look, there's no doubt in the world that Aaron Rodgers was not playing up to his potential when the Packers selected Jordan Love. And if the selection of Jordan Love results in multiple MVPs at the end of his career for Aaron Rodgers, that's a bad thing. How? I mean, I know you're kind of joking, but kind of in every little joke, there's a kernel of truth. I'm down with it, man. I am down with it. And don't think for a second that Aaron Rodgers suddenly putting it together, playing within the structure of the offense and having an MVP type season, or hell, no, not even type, an MVP season, was not in some way a direct result of that Jordan Love pick. And Aaron Rodgers going, oh yeah, well, fuck you. Watch this. Aaron Rodgers rededicating himself, going back and watching that 2010 practice tape, adjusting his game, playing within structure, hitting checkdowns. That didn't just magically happen. You know, Aaron Rodgers was forced into a certain mindset because of something the Packers did, i.e. selecting Jordan Love. It all works together. And that is not to take anything away from Aaron Rodgers before the 12 fanboy cape up and say, oh, you just hate Rodgers. I love Aaron. He's a fucking once in a generation talent, and he had a phenomenal year. But he didn't do that in 2019, and he sure as shit didn't do that in 2018. And there's a reason why. Oh, don't want to miss any super chats. Aaron White, thanks for the super chat. How does the Chicago versus extra game? Oh, Chicago versus who? Las Vegas Raiders extra game compared to Green Bay versus KC, a strength of schedule. What if it causes Green Bay to lose a seed or miss the playoffs? Win your games. I'd never understand this kind of thinking. Like, win your football games. You are placed on the field against an opponent. Beat them. So, okay, yes, it could those like matchups end up determining playoff positioning or even playoff qualification? Sure. Absolutely. It's the new setup, though. Like, what are you going to do? Resign and protest? Win your games. Makes it pretty simple. Oh, I'm sorry. Do the Packers have a harder game than the Bears do? Or, I'm sorry. Yeah, Bears? Oh, no. Win your games. And everyone, I love Packers fans. And not say that you're doing this, Aaron, but so many Packers fans are like, oh, God, we got to play Kansas City. Oh, God, it's such a terrible addition. You know, the Chiefs fans should be sitting there going, oh, God, we got to play the Packers. And most of them probably are. Your team is really fucking good. Most fan bases do not want to play the Packers. Just remember that when you're scared of the Chiefs. Guys, feels like I'm on one this morning. Big Cheese, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Morning, Nags. Do you think Funchess sitting out last year will hurt his chances of making the team this year out of camp? Happy hump day. I think a little bit, if only because they found such a good rhythm and such a good kind of vibe and, you know, as far as operationally, it's something that MVS talked about with Ty Dunn, how they kind of work at the line of scrimmage, all the adjustments necessary. They found really good kind of way of working, if you will, with Rodgers and the receiving core. And that's not to say Funchess can't come in and contribute and be part of it, But I do think it's a pretty damn tight-knit group and pretty insular, and they work really well, as evidenced by the fact that they were the first overall fucking offense in the league. Cracking that lineup, I don't think, is as simple as, okay, just go in there and run these routes, you know, make these plays. I think there's a lot that goes into it. Forget all the stuff with Rodgers. Just knowing the playbook, as far as I can remember, I don't think Funchess has worked in this system before. And then all the little things like blocking on the perimeter in the run game, the adjustments after the snap of the ball to whatever coverages are presented and reading them the same way Aaron Rodgers does. That's all stuff that Funchess is going to have to do, and he's going to have to do it hitting the ground running. They're not going to have time to wait for him. So, yeah, I do think it makes it a little bit tougher for him. I don't think there's any question there. But that's not to say he can't do it. But I do think it'll be a little tougher than just add wide receiver. Aaron also doesn't call you. That is true. He does not call me. He does DM me on occasion, though. So, you know, I do have an open line of communication, which is nice. Andrew Ware, thanks for the super chat. Four fingers of tequila is all I got to say. I mean, I just hope and pray that whoever's they pick at 29, or maybe if they trade up, is just somebody on the offensive side of the ball to help Aaron Rodgers. That's, you know, it would just be nice. It would just be nice, Brian. Just after last year with the love pick, let's give Aaron something to work with. It could be an offensive tackle. It doesn't have to be a skill position player, but just somebody on offense. Help your generational quarterback. That'd be nice. How many defensive line and corners do we pick? Yes. Bernie, if you missed my chat with Mike Renner yesterday, make sure you check that out here on the channel. Mike is the draft guru, if you will, with Pro Football Focus. He was outstanding, answered a ton of questions, much like that. I would highly recommend checking that out. TKM, thanks for the super chat. Nags, here are my thoughts. All in caps. TKM up here in his post and shouting. If Aaron Rodgers wins two more MVPs and another Super Bowl or two, he can only play so long. Then Love gets the job. Aaron Rodgers, 3 years, different team. Yeah, I guess it's a possibility. I have a real hard time imagining the Packers moving on from Aaron Rodgers after he wins MVPs and a Super Bowl. But crazier things have happened. I mean, they do have Love for four more years of control. I mean, with the fifth-year option. So I'm going to say it's going to be that's kind of crazy, but I mean, it's the NFL, man. Crazier things have happened. Attorney Cooper throwing a bomb into the comments here. I'd love to pick up Golden Tate. Hey, I gave him a maybe on Twitter, but that's not going to happen. We all know it's not going to happen. The Packers aren't going to be bringing in Golden Tate. I do think he would fit in nice and add something to the mix at wide receiver, but I just don't see Brian Gutekunst going there. And hell, even if he wanted to, they would have to adjust something internally contract-wise, and they've done pretty much everything they can outside of touching 12's contract, extending Davante Adams, maybe is a Darius extension, although they had that opportunity and passed it up in favor of next year. So I don't know, man. I just don't see any outside, or at least significant outside pickups outside of maybe a trade coming down the pike here. How about Richard Sherman? I don't see that either, boys. Sorry, and girls, ladies and gentlemen. Thoughts on Cordell Patterson rumors? That's all they are, Marshall. When someone that I trust starts writing about it or talking about it, I'll give it more credence. Remember the James White rumors right even before free agency started? You know, I don't pay attention to most of that. But I will say, I was asked about him yesterday, and I love the idea of him as a returner and maybe mixing him in on offense. I think he's a really good player, but I'd be surprised if the Packers laid out any free agency cash for him. The Golden Tate comment elicited exactly what I thought it would in the comment section. Oh, Max, do you think Mark Murphy is more committed to developing Titletown District than winning a Super Bowl? No. And anyone who suggests otherwise is pretty ignorant. The Titletown extension, the continual development of it, is the entire key for the Packers, not only existence, but for being competitive and possibly winning a Super Bowl. They are intertwined. They are completely connected. And this idea that he can only be focused on one or the other is laughable. Also, he is, yes, more involved on the football side now because of the, you know, separation of the powers that he put in place between the general manager and then Russ Ball as VP and the head coach, all reporting to him. He is more involved than his predecessors were when it comes to the football side. But he is still, yes, working on Titletown and all the business aspects when it comes to the Packers. And I would add, did an amazing job shepherding the franchise through everything that happened last summer, whether that was civil unrest, whether that was COVID pandemic. The guy put his money where his mouth is, literally, he and his wife contributing untold amounts of money for both causes. But he also has a pretty capable staff working with him. Don't forget, Ed Policy is there and has taken over a lot of the commitments when it comes to the business side, especially with Titletown, etc. Policy is probably going to be in Mark Murphy's seat in a couple of years when Murphy has to retire, which is the law, according to the Packers. I can't remember what the exact age is, but there is an age that you reach that you must retire as the CEO. When Murphy hits that, I think Ed will most likely take over that job. And he is kind of the spearhead for a lot of the stuff with Titletown. So, yeah, no. Is he too focused on one or the other? No. He's doing his job. And I, to my eyes, doing a damn good job of it. And I have been very critical of Mark in the past. You know, when the Favre transition happened, I was not a fan of how he operated or how he kind of navigated those waters. Albeit, I know it was a very tricky situation, especially since he was new on the job. But I have been thoroughly impressed with the work he has done in the last, say, 5 years, especially transitioning away and out of the Ted Thompson era into Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur. The continual development of Titletown, I think he's doing an outstanding job. That's all I got to say about that. Nicholas, thanks for the super chat. Do you think Funchess is handed last year's playbook now to study and get a head start? Oh, I don't think. Yeah, I don't doubt for a moment that they found a way to get it to him now. Officially, they're not supposed to. They're not supposed to have contact with these guys at this point. But yeah, I would be shocked if he doesn't have his hands on the playbook at this point. Brandy, over under on drafting another tight end this year. I don't know, but whatever it is, give me the under, because I don't think it'll happen. Does that make any sense? Nags, correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember you being somewhat critical slash skeptical when Russ Ball was named VP. Why was that? No, Steven, I think you got your timeline wrong there, buddy. I was very skeptical of Russ Ball as a candidate for general manager. If you're talking about like when he was hired by McCarthy back in the day, or not, well, not by McCarthy, but although I think maybe McCarthy was the initial. McCarthy knew him from their time in New Orleans together, which is was a big part of how he got the job in Green Bay. But no, the only thing I've ever really kind of very publicly questioned was Russ Ball being a candidate for general manager. And that has led to some fun exchanges and or moments in the press box when I've passed by Russ. I will say, for the record, Russ has been amazing and nothing but nice to me and a true gentleman. Even though he knows I have talked shit about him on Twitter. So I think we should all take a page out of Russ Ball's book is what I'm trying to say here. Danny Shelton over Lancaster would have been a good move. Probably, Lewis. I'd probably agree with you on that one. However, let's just draft our own Danny Shelton and have Tyler Lancaster. Why not both? I'm down with it. Brandy, I love Christian Barmore, but no way he's there at 29. No chance. Hey, Nags, what Hogwarts house is Russ Ball in? I believe he's Ravenclaw. Hufflepuff. Funchess should be healthy at this point, at the very least. Very much so. God, you watch his social. The stuff he's doing on the basketball court is damn impressive, I'll tell you that. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. I can't thank you guys enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day here on Packers Daily. Dawson in here, last minute. Last super chat, weekday, workday mornings, shit, shower, shave, coffee, Nags and crew. Have a great hump day, y'all. Carry that G. Perfect way to end it, dogs. Thanks so much. I hope you guys are good. Hope you're all hanging out. Huddle here saying the DT defensive tackle class is meh. That doesn't mean you can't find good players. I say this all the time. Don't get trapped by the draft industrial complex, thinking you can't find good players at positions that are shallow or don't have a lot of depth in them this particular year. Doesn't mean you can't find good players. Happens every single year. Thank you, everybody. Can't thank you enough. Please do hit like on this video. Subscribe to the channel. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. If you really want to support what we do, please consider giving us $5 a month on our Patreon page, patreon.com/cheeseheadTV. Speaking of Patreon, tonight, 6 p.m., we got our weekly happy hour. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hope to see you all there. If you can't jump on Patreon, totally understand, but please do hit like and hit subscribe. Have a great day and go Pack Go.